Hey everybody, what's up? This is Nicole
and Sharita,
and you're here for another episode of It's Usually Black and White. We got some things we want to talk about today, so grab a glass and let's go.
Hey.
So Sharita, how was your week? We didn't get to meet up. Anything fun?
No, not really. We had some sickness in my house again this wonderful week. So we've just been in. It gave me the opportunity to finally take down my Christmas decor. Anybody who knows me knows that I usually have it out before or have it taken down before the end of the year, but it has been crazy. For me, my mom is here. I think I said that before. On top of that, I had to get a certification for my job, and that took me, 2 months to do, but I finally completed it and I'm done. So that was the highlight of my week last week. I am completely done with that. That was the longest and hardest thing I think I've ever done and most stressful. So that's done. So I've got that done. And now I am just trying to feel like me again, not have that stress on my back about getting that taken care of, taking it all in. So got some stuff done, got some shopping done, got the Christmas tree and decor down and cleaning up from people being sick up in here. What about you?
Well, that stinks that people were sick. I'm glad everybody's feeling better. And congrats on your accomplishment, because that's huge.
Thank you. It was huge. It was a beast.
I bet. I'm so glad I don't have to study for anything, because I'm not good at that. Go ahead. What?
I was just going to say, yeah, me either. I thought I was, but that humbled me real fast, because, you know, I'm in healthcare. And I started off on the floor, and now I've moved into an analyst role. And, you know, I know the system from all ends because I started off on the floor working and taking care of patients. So I knew how to use it from a, you know, a staff perspective. But then I went into an informatics role. So then I was kind of the in-between between the staff person using the system and the actual analyst who made the changes in the system or fixed things. So now I am in the analyst role, and I was like, oh, I'm good. I've been doing this forever. I know what to do. Girl, it humbled me so fast because I was lost. I mean, I cried real tears. I was like, I'm not cut out for this. I can't do this. But I did it, and now I'm done, and I never want to do it again. It was not for me. I mean, it was for me because it's what I want to do, but I'm just like, That was tough.
Well, the worst is out of the way. And so now it's now it's all the good stuff. We always have a busy week. I'm not even going to lie. We, with sports and everything, our life is just always constant chaos. I have to check my calendar every morning when I wake up to know where I'm even supposed to be that day or how I'm even supposed to function. I actually just got home about 2 hours ago from my daughter's last basketball game for the weekend, because we're in the tournament every single weekend. Nice. And so we were talking about, you know, participation trophies and all that. And our girls are used to winning first place in all their tournaments pretty much. Mm-hmm. So we were humbled as well. We got second place this weekend. We played a really tough team today, but I will say that I love when we play tough teams like that, because it makes the girls work that much harder and then know that they still have a lot of work to do. Like, they're not at the top of the game. But they don't take it hard, you know. And I will say my girl, she this weekend, total of games, she had a total of 20 points. She had a buzzer beater 3-point shot in her game yesterday. So
nice.
Yeah, regardless, she's got some good things going, and all the girls on the team have had some amazing things happen over the weekend, regardless if we took first place or not. So
yeah, that's awesome. Well, congrats.
Thanks. So my brother landed today from LA, so I'm looking forward to spending some time with him and just, you know, doing all the things, seeing my family and having fun, and my little girl's turning 12 on Friday. So this week is going to be just as busy as all the others, if not more. So it's always something.
And with that being said, yeah, so we are recording today. I hope to get this out probably Monday morning. You should be getting this on Monday morning or sometime Monday. We did not record last week. And this week, since Nicole's brother is in town, we will not be recording until next Wednesday. So I know you'll miss us, but we'll be posting in the Facebook page. So join us if you are not over there to keep in touch with us.
Yes, because Wednesday we're going to be getting white girl wasted with my brother. It's going to be so fun. I'm sure we'll have all kinds of good stories for you the following week.
For sure, for sure.
So I wanted to touch back on these games, these basketball games we've been doing. So I was noticing some stuff with, we were at a basketball tournament. This was last weekend. And my, you know, my daughter's getting ready to turn 12 and she had an experience at basketball where she totally lost her shit and had a meltdown because her Nike socks were not slouching correctly or scrunching correctly on her leg because they got to look a certain way. Okay. And so they weren't scrunched correctly. So she was losing her life trying to get ready for this game on the side of the court 30 minutes before the game started when she was putting her shoes on. And my husband was about ready to lose his shit on her. And I'm like, you know what? Just walk away. Because she has raging hormones. She's 12, almost 12. She's about to start going through the change. Everything is going to be the end of the world right now. And it just got me to thinking about how, because I started thinking about my oldest, who's now 21 and has her own place, when she was a teenager, because I'm just standing here like, really? But teenagers have the biggest meltdowns over the dumbest shit. And I don't, how do you deal with that? Like, I'm not sure how. I know your daughter is a different personality, but every child has a meltdown about something.
Oh, yeah.
How do you handle when, I think it's interesting to hear how different parents handle it differently. So what's a good example for you and how you've handled it?
You know, it's, I think I've said this before, but just in case I didn't, or just to reiterate, me and my kid are like two completely different people. I let stuff kind of go. I mean, like, I just, not everything matters to me like it does to most people. My kid is the complete opposite. I mean, like, everything matters and everything has to be a certain way or she just can't handle it. And before I go into that, I do just kind of want to take a step back and say, it's so interesting that you say that about your kid, because obviously, yeah, I've gone through this too. But like, I don't remember having these things when I was younger. And I don't remember having these extreme meltdowns in front of my parents, and just, I just don't remember having that experience. And maybe I did and I don't remember, because Lord knows I have the worst memory on earth.
You but do. Like,
I know I do. But for her, I don't want to say it. I'm trying to figure it out still. And she will be 16 in a few months. In about 5 months. And it's just like, I feel like 90% of what she has a meltdown about, like, it doesn't matter, or I don't care. Like, at the end of the day, your favorite saying.
Oh, God.
It never really matters. So I usually handle it. It just depends on where I am in my day, right? Because usually her meltdowns are first thing in the morning on the way to school. Whatever it is, there's tears, she's upset. And I try to tell myself, okay, you are not like her. She feels differently than you do. Be more empathetic, be patient. And then, like, I can only take so much and then I lose my shit. So I usually start yelling at the top, like just going crazy. Like, it doesn't even matter. And why are you crying? And, you know, in an hour, nobody's even going to care about this. And, you know, I just, it takes me a second and then I go there and then I feel bad because I'm like, she was obviously feeling these feelings and I can't handle it. It's like, I can't understand where she's coming from. And then like, sometimes she'll say just the right thing that is a little snarky, like not even like disrespectful, but just kind of giving it back to me a little bit. And then girl, I lose all the everything. I'm talking about like, I'm sweating at this point. I am losing my voice because I'm screaming so loud. And it's just like, her little thing that didn't even matter has now turned into this huge thing, like in my day. You know what I mean? Because now I'm in a bad mood and I'm usually like almost always in a great mood. So it's like, it's hard to deal with. So for me, it's just, I have to like tell myself to either ignore it and let her get it all out, even though I completely disagree with whatever she's feeling like. Just keep it cute, be quiet. Because even if I am like patient and try to guide her through things, like I'm the mom, so I'm always wrong, right? Like I don't understand.
You
so
don't.
It's like, why do I even say anything? It's like, why do I even say anything? And then it's like, well, don't talk about it if you don't want to hear what I have to say. And it just turns into a bigger thing than what it should be. So yeah, I'm still learning. I'm still learning this whole mom thing. And it just depends on what it is and how I think it affects her. And I just kind of roll with it. I don't really have great advice. It just depends on what it is and where we both are in it, basically. What about you?
I really like, I love hearing this from you because I know you to be so calm, soft-spoken, go with the flow. And I know her to be so, you know, kind of well-reserved, good rounded kid and stuff like that. And I feel like my personality and both of my daughter's personalities are totally opposite of your daughter and your personalities. But it's funny to hear you handle it the same way I do. I lose my shit. I'm like, girl, with both of them. I mean, my oldest is 21. I still lose my shit with her. She'll still call, you know, everything's still the end of the world for her. And the funny thing is like, yes, like you said, like it can affect your own day. So now they're gone. Now I'm pissed. And if I come home, don't let my husband be home because I'm still in fight mode. And I could come home and then he just looks at me the wrong way. And I'm like, and by the way, you know what you did 2 weeks ago? Like, I'm still pissed about that. Let's talk about it. And it's not fair to him. And I don't mean to do it. But it does. It happens. And then he'll check me and be like, don't come home getting an attitude with me because you mad at our daughter. Because I didn't do nothing to you. Y'all was just arguing and now you're bringing that on me. And I'm like, then I don't really know what to say. So then I'm just mad at the world and I'm like fuming inside. And there's like, it all started over something like so tiny. And
right.
I have learned over time, even though I've learned it, I don't always use it, but I use it more than I used to. I've learned over time that it's best to just walk away. And that's what I was telling him. We're at the basketball thing because he was about ready to lose his shit. I'm like, he's like, I'm not this little girl. I'm about to throw a fit over no sock. And I'm like, just walk away. And that really is the only thing that works for both of us, because then eventually she'll just come back up to me and she'll be over it. And then I didn't have to go through it with her. Like we had a morning a couple of weeks ago where she just woke up. She's normally a morning person. This is my youngest. She's normally a morning person, just a very like wakes up happy, does her morning routine. We talk on the way to school and all that. But she has some days where she wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And this day was not just the wrong side of the bed, but she woke up on the wrong whole side of the house. Okay. And she just had an attitude about everything, was snapping at me left and right. And I was like, I'm going to knock this kid out. So I'm like, let me just go make my coffee. And she just was dragging it. And since I wouldn't pay attention to her and get in it with her, you know, she wanted that out of me because she needed a reaction because she was angry and needed somebody to fight with. So she sat her little butt on the couch and crossed her legs and folded her arms and said, well, I guess I'm just not going to school today.
But no, she didn't.
So I sat across from her in my chair and crossed my legs and picked up my coffee cup. And I said, well, I guess I can relax with my coffee then. And I sat there and sipped my coffee for 10 minutes. And she just was sitting there and I wouldn't even pay her no mind. And finally she was like, well, are you gonna take me to school or what?
I did not, girl.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to go? Did you have a change of heart all of a sudden? Because I was enjoying my coffee. And she was like, Ma, I want to go to school. I just want you to do this for me. And I said, I'll do it for you when you do what I ask. And until you do what I ask, we're going to sit here. And if you end up being late to school, then I guess that's going to be your problem to figure out. Mm-hmm. And so she ended up getting up, doing what I wanted her to do. And we left and she still made it to school on time. Her fit started just early enough that we still got there on time. But had I not just sat back and been like, you know what? It's my day off. If we want to sit here and stare at each other all day until she gets her attitude over with, the only person that's going to be affected is her by the time she gets to school. I'm not doing this with her and ruining my day.
And what if she would have called your bluff and then just wouldn't have went to school that day?
Oh, well, if she wouldn't have went to school that day, that's fine. She would have missed that day of school. And then she would have missed a whole week of her sports and a whole week of talking to her friends and a whole week of a cell phone and a whole week of an Xbox and all of that. And then she would have had to earn every single thing back one at a time.
Yeah, see, we would have been in a fight. I mean, I can dig that. And I mean, obviously, you know what works for your kid. But yeah, there would have been. I couldn't have done that. I would have been like, oh, you're going to school if I have to drag you to school, which I don't know that we would ever get there because she is very like she wants to go to school. She doesn't like to miss school. So and I know that yours doesn't either. But like we would have been in a fight for that. So I love that you just had your coffee and were like, I'll call your bluff. Yeah, because I probably would have had to drag her literally.
Well, you know, literally. I think it helps too. First of all, with her, I knew she was going to end up caving because you said, she enjoys school. She does not like to miss. Mm-hmm. She just is in this moment in her life where she has little moments where she thinks she's tough. Mm-hmm. And so she has to express that. And then she finds out she isn't. And so I think that it helps that I've already been through this with her older sister. Mm-hmm. And with her older sister, it was different. She was way more headstrong than my youngest and still is, and very much has to prove a point, even if she puts herself in a more difficult situation because she has to make her point proven.
Right.
So we had moments for a very long time where I did that. Like, I'm dragging you to school.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work. Because I could get her there, but she wouldn't stay there. And then it would just turn into this and that and be more turmoil. And so I think that's what kind of got me to the place in my life where I was just like, you know what? If you want to mess some stuff up for yourself, go right on ahead, because I'm going to sit here and drink my coffee. I do not have time.
Yeah.
And I think deep down inside, oh no, like I want to do that. But in my mind, I'm like, no, because then that's just going to ruin my whole day. And so I got my own stuff to take care of. So if you want to ruin your day and your what you got going for yourself, go ahead. I'm not letting no kid ruin my stuff no more.
Yeah. And then like also something that I do with my kid is sometimes when she's having those meltdowns where she's like crying, because that's kind of where my thing is. It's for me, like if something is going on in life, like for me, crying doesn't help. Stop crying. Figure it out. She's not like that. She's a very emotional person. She cries at the drop of a dime. And that's another something that I'm working on for her, is that empathy, is that she is emotional like that. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes she'll just be crying. And I'll just be like, what is the matter with you? And then we get into a fight and then she's crying even harder because I can't understand why she's crying over something so silly, but it's big to her, obviously. And so there have been times where I'm like, okay, she's over there crying, you know, right next to me in the car. I'm just going to let it go because she's not saying anything. And I know as soon as I ask her, it's going to be a thing. And then I feel bad. So then I start thinking, like, there have been those moments where I do drop her off and she gets out of the car. She doesn't say a word. I don't say anything, letting her have her thing. And then I'm like, what if she really needed to say something, or she really, you know, I could have helped her, even if it is screaming, like it's still kind of talking, you know. And I know that screaming isn't the best way to communicate, but maybe she does need to talk through it. And like I said, I'm not that type of person. I tend to keep things in and then just let it go. But, you know, there are those times where I'm like, was ignoring it the best thing? Like, and don't get me wrong, I completely agree with you and what you do, but I do think it depends on the kid. Like, I think that and I are completely different, and I think that all of our kids are completely different. Even your two are completely different from each other. So we're all, it's like five of us different people, or four of us different people, right? No, five of us different people. And it just, like, it depends on who it is and how you deal with them, because you're two girls. I know you have to deal with them differently, even though you're one person. But in, like, for her, it's like she's completely different than me, and I have to be more mindful of that, but I also have to stay true to myself. And so it's just, it's a really hard, you know, line to walk, right?
Yeah. And I think as mothers, even though we know we were right by putting our foot down, there's always some sort of guilt in the back of our minds, just because we care about our children so much and we just don't want to see them hurting. And so I think sometimes there are parents, and not even just parents. I mean, I've done it myself in the past where I have moments and I cave to that. Mm-hmm. And I've come to learn that when I cave to those moments, my child learns nothing from it. So it's best to stay tough and stand your ground. I think that they learn from that. And then I also think that it's just very eye-opening and, you know, good for to make everybody aware that you really can't judge how other people parent their children, because every child is different. Every mother is different. We all respond to things differently. If I were to tell my, you know, my 11-year-old right now to do a certain thing, and then say my 21-year-old was 11 at the same time, I could tell them a set of directions. I could tell them both the exact same thing, and they're both going to react to it differently.
Right. Right.
And one will eventually cave and do what I say. Mm-hmm. And the other one will ride that shit out for 6 months if she has to. She will turn the whole house upside down just to not do what I said. I mean, she could end up in juvenile detention center just so she can say, I didn't do what you said. Yeah. And that's just her personality. And I've had to learn how to handle that within
her.
How to parent her, and how to handle that within myself so that I don't get mentally and emotionally drug into that with her as well, so that I can stay strong and be a strong parent. Because Lord knows there's been times where I'm like, this child has made me get in my car and leave my own home and drive for 30 minutes just around Omaha, talking on the phone to my friends like, I can't go home. I'm gonna mess her up. I'm just driving around, because if I go home, I'm gonna pop her right in the face. I swear to God. And then I get home. I, you know, this was a long time ago, but then I would get home and it would finally be calmed down. And, you know, it's just, I would just have to take that moment for myself, because I'm like, little girl, you are pushing me to a point I don't want to get to. It's time for me to step away. And if that means I got to leave my house and go for a ride, that's going to be the best thing for me and you both, because I'm about to miss you. Right. But, so I think basically, teenage years are very difficult, and kudos to all of the moms and dads who deal with it. And nobody has the answer for parenting. No, there's no perfect book that can tell you exactly what to do. Every parent's different. Every child's different. And it just takes some time, I think, to just really learn what works for your child, and what works for one of your kids is not going to work for the other, because they're all different personalities. Mm-hmm. And I've really had to learn that over time. When I was growing up, I don't remember having those meltdowns like that either. But I might not remember it because I might have got it knocked out of me so hard that I done lost my because right. my parents did not play. And right. my parents would put their hands on you and that's it. Like that was it. Back then that was your punishment. Like they didn't think about talking to you about stuff or right. trying to work with your personality. It was just, I'm going to beat your ass and that's it. I'm beat your ass, you're grounded and that's it. Do what I right. say or I'm going to beat your ass. Yeah. So yeah. anyways, I just think it's interesting to see how different people parent. And I love hearing that other moms lose their shit and go psycho just as much as I do. It makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, it's only like a couple of people in this world who can get me there. And she's one of them. And I yes. think it's just because I expect so much from her. And like I said, you know, still again, she's so different than I am. But I also know her the best, better than anybody else. And I just, those are those little things that I can't understand about her. And I don't always handle it. And I don't want to say the right way or the wrong way. Because I don't feel like I'm doing a good job or I don't feel like I'm doing a bad job parenting. It's just that we're still learning each other. And I know that these are those years where she's still forming who she is and her thoughts and her thought processes. And we do have to be mindful of that too. And I remember you just said something about like being tough and putting our feet down and just, you know, sticking to what we say. And I can agree with that to a certain extent too. But I also do feel like you just said about how our parents parented us. Like, I don't really want it like that, you know, with my kid now. So she does need to know that I am the adult and that no matter how I handle things, I'm always going to do things, you know, with her best interest at heart. And I might not always do the right thing or handle it the right way, but I'm always going to do what I think is best for her. And sometimes that tough love, like stop crying over everything or everything isn't as big of a deal as you think it is. Like she does need to hear that too. You know what I mean? Right. And at the same time, like if I'm yelling at you and there have been some times where I have just lost my shit, I will send her a text and be like, sorry for yelling like that. But this is, you know, why I felt that way or this is what I was trying to say to you. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. You sound just like me. I do that. Like I'll yell at my daughter and then I'll send her a text later, like while she's at school. And I'm like, I'm sorry for yelling at you, but this was the reason. I hope you know I love you and you have a good day.
Exactly. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do because it's like you took me there, but I do have to take responsibility for my part in it because like now I'm driving to work and I'm angry. And then that was funny that you said that you come home and take it out on your husband. I don't do that. That's funny. And well, you know, my husband, he's like your husband, obviously, but, you know, super quiet, super, you know, just go with the flow. So I wouldn't even have a reason to do anything like that with him, but I still with him, I'm very like aware of him and how I say things because like my mom or my kid or a friend can say something and I'll instantly like say something back with an attitude, right? I'm very careful not to do that with my husband because everything for him is so even keel. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have big reactions to anything. He doesn't, it's just like, everything is just like, whatever you want to do. He doesn't make a whole lot of decisions. I mean, and when he does want to make a decision or when he does make a decision, I usually go with it because it's not too often where he says like, no, I don't want to do that. Let's do it. You know what I mean? And right. So I'm very, very aware of how I speak to him, what I say to him, you know, just because he doesn't ever give attitude. He's just the same all the time. So sometimes I can be on 10 with my kid and then he'll say something, he'll ask a question or something super innocent. And with anybody else, I'd be like, I'd still have an attitude, right? But with him, I always bring it back down because he's just so even keel. And he's the only person that I've ever been like that with. Like anybody else, you can get it. Like if I'm mad, I'm mad. Then that's just what it is. But with him, I'm so aware of him. And I think that that's something, you know, kind of special between us because that's not really who I am with other people. Like if I'm mad, I'm mad. But with him, it's just, it's different. So yeah, I just thought that was so funny because I could see you going home and getting mad at him for something he did 5 months ago. I can see that because that's who you like. I know my friend. And I was when just I was just laughing because I was like, I wouldn't do like I couldn't do that. Like not wouldn't or couldn't. It's just not something that I would even think to do because I'm usually over it in like 5 minutes anyway.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I have worked on this so hard in my life and I'm so much more calm and level-headed than I used to be in younger years. But when I get upset, I am a very much a hothead. I am one of those that I react and then I think later.
Yeah.
And if I'm still in the mode of fighting because I'm that angry and there's not someone there to fight with, the first person I see, it's just like, and it's like, I don't even intentionally do it to him. I just come home and I'm mad and I'm like,
there.
And then afterwards, when I've created this thing and now I got him upset, then I'm finally calming down because now I got all the stuff off of me I need to get off. Then I'm like,
why are you mad?
Right. And I'm like, I'm happy now. Everybody should be happy. No, but then I feel bad. And I'm like, I wish that I wasn't like that. So I'm trying to control that a little bit more. I'm a work in progress, people, a work in progress. Maybe I just need more wine. Maybe I need weed. I don't smoke that.
Oh,
maybe
Lord. Not the weed, girl. Not the weed.
No, I'd go to sleep and like be paranoid in a corner somewhere. Speaking of weed, though, did you hear about, okay, so there's a pastor in Atlanta who literally says that he wants to bring Black men to church by growing weed. So I found this article. He says, and I quote, "I'm looking for people that smell like weed." And he says, "I'll be able to bring Black men." This is Pastor, let's see, his name's Jamal Bryant in Atlanta.
Okay, so he's Black. Jamal Bryant, is that, does any kin or anything to do with Giselle from Real Housewives of Potomac? I swear that's his name. Okay,
I don't know about
talking. I'm gonna look that up.
Okay,
because it would all make sense if that's who we're talking about.
So he says, "I'll be able to bring in Black males. They're able to grow weed legally. I'm teaching them farming. I'm helping them to enhance the ecosystem. This is the kind of conversation. So if a guy, a Black boy, or a Black man in Bankhead says, oh, they growing weed in the church, where do I join? I don't need no pamphlet for him." End quote.
Jesus. Okay. So
how do you feel about this?
Well, I don't like it. Right. Honestly, my first thought was, is this Pastor Black?
Yes.
And then you said Jamal Bryant. And then I looked it up. And yes, it is the ex-husband. And they are often rekindling of Giselle Bryant. She's from Housewives of Potomac, which is my least favorite franchise. I watch it as background noise sometimes.
It's so low budget. I agree.
I just am not into it. I try to be into it, but I'm not. Anywho, that's disgusting to me. Like, I don't know. I guess I need to read the article. I mean, because I can understand trying to get people in. But this seems shady. It doesn't feel authentic. Like, if you want to bring people in, I get the come as you are. Wear your holy jeans, your beat down shoes. Because you remember how we used to have to get dressed, like super dressed in your Sunday clothes for church.
Yes.
So I get the whole come as you are, wear what you want to wear, do what you do, just come in the door. And I get having different types of things to pull people in that you normally wouldn't be able to reach out to, that different type of outreach type of thing. But this just, I don't know. I need to read the article, but I don't know if anything will make this feel good to me. But at the same time, like, I know weed is, you know, legalized in most states, but I don't know. I don't know, friend. I don't think I like it. It just doesn't feel right to me. And then knowing that this fella is from, you know, Giselle, I'm just like, I don't know. It all feels shady to me. I don't know how I feel about this. What do you think?
So it bothers me for the one of the, there's a couple reasons it bothers me. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. It bothers me because we don't go to church for weed.
Right.
We go to church to seek out Jesus and God. Mm-hmm. And we go to church to save our souls and be healed emotionally and make connections in life and right wrongs and get on good paths and do different things with ourselves and try to get into the pearly gates at the end of our life. And that is why we go to church, to be an all-around better person, to make good connections, to be, you know, one with Jesus and all of that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So another reason it bothers me is as a white woman who has biracial children, I see a lot. I see more than anybody, like on certain sides of the fences of what white people truly think about black people. Right.
Because that's why my first question was, is he white or black?
Right. Exactly. And so what bothers me is that as a white woman, I know what a lot of true stereotypes white people have about black men. And I think that this feeds into that. And yes. It's saying, I'm only going to get black men interested in going to church if it involves marijuana. And right. I think that that is, even if that's not the basis of what he's trying to say, that is his quote. I'm looking for people who smell like weed. I don't need no plant. I don't need no pamphlet if they know we're growing weed in the church. So what reasons are you bringing them to church for? And why do you feel that is your only way to get a black man into church is through weed? Because it's not. It's not. And I have, you know, seen quite a few black men come through church. One who's I'm not going to say any names, but one who's a pastor here now in Omaha, who, you know, is reformed and was a felon and in prison. And he leads a church and he has guest spoke at a church that I've been to numerous times. He didn't need somebody to tell him you can grow weed to come here. And it just makes me upset that that would be your one focus and reasoning that you think would get them into church. No, go find something within their soul and speak to them and reach them deep down in their heart. That's what's going to pull them in.
Right.
So that when I read that, I was like, this has to be a joke. So I had to open it and really read it. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, I don't know. I didn't like it at all. I couldn't believe that it was real.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you want to teach men how to grow weed and be a part of the ecosystem and learn farming, that's great. The way our world's going and expensive as groceries are, teach them how to farm food and nutrition to help feed their families. Right. And then, you know, I don't know. You don't have to go to church to learn how to grow weed. So,
I don't see somebody being like, "Ooh, I smoke weed. I want to learn how to grow weed. Let me go to church." Like those, it doesn't even make sense. I need to read the article because I can't even wrap my mind around it. So send that to me or post it in the Facebook group.
I will do both.
Yes. Thank you.
I will do both. Yeah. So we're going to need, I think that in our Facebook group, we should definitely post this and get I want to know people's opinion. How do you feel about this article? Is there anybody who finds something positive about this? Because if you do and you find something in there that you think makes it great, I definitely would love to hear your opinion. We
for sure
welcome all opinions.
It's usually black and white. Sometimes gray.
Sometimes gray. I don't know about that one, but it's sometimes gray. And also, speaking of very, very different things, have you seen that Tay Diggs and April Jones were together? Oh, April Jones from Love and Hip Hop, Omarion, Lil Fizz, April Jones.
Girl, you know I know who these people are. And then Tay Diggs is the ex-husband slash baby daddy of my favorite Broadway singer, Idina Menzel. So, and if you don't know who Idina Menzel is, she is the original Glinda. Oh gosh, which one is the green one in Wicked? She also played Maureen. Yeah, she also played Maureen in Rent. She's a huge. She was also one of the people on Frozen. One of the girls. I don't remember which one. She's Let It Go girl. Let It Go. Let It Go.
And now he's with someone slapping her coochie on Love and
Now Hip. He is with. And I'm saying you gotta always have a type, but they are two completely different types of women. So I thought that was odd. I mean, which is okay, but there's like no similarities there. April is way younger than him again, which is fine, but a little odd, but only because like her mind is also young. So April, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. She's absolutely gorgeous, long, beautiful hair. She is mixed with Asian and Black. So you can imagine how gorgeous her hair is. He is beautiful. He's from what? How Stella Got Her Groove Back. He's from all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also was on Rent. That's where he met Idina Menzel. So yes, April is ex-wife. I don't know if they were married. Were they even married?
Her and Omarion, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But so from the pop group, R&B pop group, B2K, she has kids with Omarion. And very, very odd relationship. So yeah, they've actually been together for, gosh, maybe at least a year or two. They've been on TikTok together forever, and they do these weird little skits, and she can sing, and obviously he can sing. He was on Broadway. And so they have a really weird relationship that seems to work for them. It's just weird because I don't know them, obviously, but I know so much about both of them, you know, from their time on TV. But it's just really bizarre. And he's so much older than her. And she's, I don't know, she's different. So you brought up Omarion and Fizz. So they were both in the same group, V2K, right? Uh-huh. That's the name of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she was with Omarion, has kids with Omarion, and then she got with Fizz. They started off as just being friends, you know, while her and Omarion were going through their, I don't know if they were just together or divorced, whatever. They were together. They were separating, ending that. And so she she really got close to Fizz, who was obviously like a brother to him. And they lied for, you know, they were on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, and they lied and lied and said, no, we're just friends. But you know, you can tell when somebody is into each other. I mean, she's walking around in like underwear and a bra, and he's just chilling out there. So no, you don't just do that with friends, especially like somebody used to deal with friend, like brother. Mm-hmm. right. So we all knew, but then they finally came out and said, yeah, we're together. We just got together. The friendship grew, whatever. We're not dumb. So then, you know, fast forward, she's not with Fizz anymore. And now she's with Tay Diggs. And at first I thought it was just like, oh, two people just met and did a cute little funny video together. And then it just became a thing. And now we know that they're together, and it's just bizarre to me. From these videos, they look like they match, because they both seem very immature and very just living their best lives, having the time of their lives, but they both look like they're like 14 years old, right? So it's just bizarre, you know, like you guys are grown with kids, and all of a sudden you're together and you're doing these weird skits on TikTok and Instagram, whatever. It's just bizarre. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So when I first saw it, I was like, April Jones from Love and Hip Hop with Tay. This makes no sense with Tay
Zero
Diggs.
Sense.
No sense. So I'm looking into this and I'm like, oh my gosh, like we have to talk about this because
Hold on one second. Just for people who don't know, like Tay Diggs is like a beautiful man, like almost like a old, like a newer school Denzel Washington, right? Like people think of Tay Diggs as this gorgeous, like well-rounded, like almost perfect man, like a Denzel in our generation. Would you agree?
Yes. And he's also more of an A-lister and she's more of like a reality TV sidekick.
Yes. Yes, and yes, 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 yes.
She not only had relationship with the two men in the same group on the same show, mm-hmm. but she has a long list of celebrity men that she
Ooh.
Has been.
Do you have any?
I need to pull the list up. I don't have it right now. And we can dig into that. But,
yes. But what I did hear she gets around.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
I mean, she's got a list, honey. But when I saw this, because I know these things and I was watching how much of a train wreck she was when she was with Lil Fizz unfolding on TikTok and on TV, I thought this is never going to last. This is 100% never going to work. Well, so I was pulling some stuff up to look at before tonight and update, they actually got married.
What?
And as of January 13th, which is what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
After 1 month of marriage, it is rumored that Tay Diggs has broken up with her. And as of yesterday, they both unfollowed each other on social media. So they were married for a month.
Oh my gosh.
And now they unfollowed each other on social media and it's rumored that Tay Diggs has broken up with her.
Wow. I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that they even got married. They've been together for a little bit though. How does it say how long they had been together?
About a year, a little over a year, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. I got it pulled up. April Jones's dating history.
Oh Lord. I'm ready for this.
Omarion.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant.
Oh, ew.
Lil Fizz.
Okay.
Wiz Khalifa.
What?
The Game.
What?
Dr. Dre.
Mind.
And the last one they have is Tay Diggs. But you know, there's a lot of people in there that probably aren't. Like,
oh, for sure.
On the
Kevin
list.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah, girl. Oh, Kevin Durant.
Jesus.
Kevin Durant.
All right. Well, I mean.
These are the men that are claiming her.
Okay.
That's the list of the men that are claiming her. But mind you, her and Omarion only broke up in 2016. So the other six men have been sex since 2016.
That's a lot of fellas. I mean, I'm not trying to sex shame her, but guys, hey, you do you, boo.
Right.
You do them. You do all of them.
Yeah, so that's just why I find it odd that they would end up together and then that he would marry her. And it does not surprise me that that marriage only lasted a month.
Yeah, it's so bizarre to me that he would marry her. Because, like, I can see her being, like, a fun, good time, making him feel young. You know, she seems super, you know, positive and happy and down for whatever. I can see that. But to take it back a little bit, like, when you were saying all of those people that she has dated, the one that makes the most sense to me is I can see her in The Game, like, being an it couple. And by it, I don't mean like a power couple, but I mean like I can see that going the distance.
There's
they
no
seem
power.
Like a perfect no. Unless she wants to be a trophy wife, because she really is drop dead gorgeous to me. I think she's so beautiful, but I don't know. I was about to say there's not a whole lot of substance there, but I take that back. She's not dumb by any means, but I just. She's beautiful and she knows it. And I just wonder what else she has to offer besides being beautiful and, you know, extremely like sexual and stuff, like very secure. I mean, I guess if I look like her, I'd be the same way. I'm not putting her down in any way, but like, what happens after that stuff starts to fade or that stuff's not exciting anymore? Is that what happened with Taye Diggs?
Right.
Because right. Like I said, with those TikToks and stuff, like they look like they were having the best time. It's a side that I never really saw of Taye Diggs. And so maybe like she made him feel young and, you know, they had fun together, but you know, there does have to be more to make it last. Right.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
As it unfolds, I'll have to keep watching the story and keep everyone updated. That's really cares about Taye Diggs' love life, because I'm interested.
Yeah. I'm interested too. I am too. Shout out to Idina Menzel, his ex-wife, who I am obsessed with. I love her.
Yeah, I'm sure she's laughing right now.
I'm sure she is too. And I hope she is collecting the biggest alimony and child support checks. I really do.
No, that's right. Yes. Okay, so before we head out this evening, I had two post secrets that I found that I thought would be nice and juicy and good topics to talk about.
Let's do it.
So the first one is, I had surgery to lose weight, but I still judge people who are overweight.
Rude.
I know so many girls like this. Do you know people like
really?
This? Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
Yes, I know quite a few women who have been heavy their entire lives. And whether they have surgery or not, I do know some that have had surgery. Mm-hmm. But whether they have surgery or not, at some point, they lose a ton of weight and become thin.
Uh-huh.
And I see them literally judge every heavy woman like they weren't just the big girl 3 years ago.
Well, that's gross, because whether you were the big girl 3 years ago or not, don't judge anybody else. You know, like, you don't know how they got to where they are, why they are where they, you know, you don't know anybody's story, because it's none of your business. And to judge people is gross anyway. But to have walked in those shoes before and do it, like, that makes you a special kind of mean. And I don't like it.
I don't either. And do you know what I think it is? I think that they were so unhappy with who they were,
mm-hmm.
that they are projecting that onto the people that are physically who they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hated themselves, they're projecting that hate onto those people. And I think
it's some counseling.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And I think it's because no matter how thin they are mentally, mm-hmm. when they look in the mirror, they still see the big girl. Because
for sure.
Yeah. And so they project that onto other people because mm-hmm. they can't rid themselves of it mentally. And not everybody does that.
Yeah, hurt people.
Exactly. Not everybody does that, but I've seen people do it. And I'm just like, you know, I've got some pretty close connections to people who are super big and lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them like, you know, judge girls, like make comments or whatever. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, girl. Mm-hmm. You worked really hard, but you can be two cheeseburgers away from homegirl over there. So, like,
but
I know who you used to be. So stop.
So do you think, though, like, as you say that, it made me think, do you think that they are talking about those bigger people because they still feel like they are? And so they get a pass?
Yes.
Like, they don't see themselves as thin anymore, or thin yet, or thinner, or that they look, you know, better to most people or whatever. And so they're saying that they can say these mean things or think these mean things about other people because that's what they look like.
No, I really think it's that they were so used to being made fun of, or, and these are just the people I personally know, mm-hmm. Being made fun of or talked down to or having comments made that have mm-hmm. stuck with them for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And hurt them, that now they get to be the people to do it. And I know that sounds like twisted, but I really think that that's like some sort of weird mental thing. Like now I'm not that person anymore. And so, you know, people used to say this about me and now I can say it to make them feel better about themselves and where they're at now. But it just makes you look dumb.
Right.
It's not cute. It is not cute. So lose weight, be happy with yourself and be healthy. But if you like judge other women by the way that they look, it's not cute.
Nope.
Yeah.
And you can't be my friend. You can't sit with us.
You can't sit with us.
Nope.
So that is that. That's that post secret. Okay. Here's the other. Okay. This one's a little super explicit. Okay.
Uh-oh. You know I'm a prude.
Oh, well, girl, you got the wrong friend on this podcast.
Oh, fabulous.
Okay. I can only orgasm when I'm tied up or imagining that I'm tied up. No matter how much I love my partner, I wish I wasn't so kinky.
I don't want to shame anybody for what gets them going and gets them to their happy place. But I think that I don't want to judge people, but I do think that I think that this person may need some counseling of some sort. Or like maybe, I don't know. I think that that's so extreme. Like that's the only way.
Yes.
Like, I mean, if that's your favorite way, then okay. But like your only way, like, I think that there's something going on underneath. Was there some type of trauma or some early sexual behaviors like that you weren't quite mature enough for, you know what I mean? Like you were too young to have witnessed some stuff or been through some things. And so I don't want to call them twisted, but like things are just a little more violent for you. You know where I'm going with this? Like, am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, you are. And so I'm scared for this person because that's not my thing. And it's some people's thing.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. Do you, Will?
But and I think that it could be your thing, but if that's the only way. Exactly.
The only way, whether you love them or not, it's the only way.
Yeah. See, I think there's something else there that we need to.
I'm worried about this person.
I also want to know, how old is this person? Like, where did you learn about like sex and love and all of that? Like, did you learn it from porn? You know, right. Like, do you have a healthy relationship with sex? And again, it brings me back to what happened to you to where you, this is the only thing. And maybe it's just beyond my thought process and, you know, what I can comprehend, but I don't see anything healthy about that being the only way. Again, if that's something that you like, great. But if that's the only way, I mean, I'm no sex psychologist or, you know, I don't know anything about anything, but in me and my little brain, I just feel like there's something else there. And like you said, I'm worried for you. Because who wants to be 74 years old still being tied up to have a good time? Right? Like,
I don't know if I'm having a good time at 74. I'm tired, shit.
Oh, I hope I'm having a good time at 74.
74? Ooh, I don't even want nobody seeing this at 74, girl. Bye. I'm about to heat
your husband gonna be like, bring that old body over here. Get over here.
Oh my God. Maybe I'll feel different when I'm 74.
I'm sure you will, because you're talking to somebody who thought that 30 was really old, and I didn't even want to be old. You know, I was like, I won't even be alive by 40. That's so old, girl. And here I am 40. So by 74, Stella's still going to be getting her groove on, girl.
Well, I would also wonder if it's a man or a woman that wrote this in.
Oh, yeah, because I automatically thought woman. You would think guy?
I mean, it could be either. It could be either. Well, right?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. I guess I didn't think about that.
I think that this is where a lot of S&M people, I don't understand the whole S&M world, but it's their thing, I guess, you know, like they like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Maybe it's just beyond us in our thought process.
Beyond our comprehension.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a great note to leave everyone on tonight. Think about that. Think about still getting some when you're 74 and are you going to be tied up or not?
All right, Frizz. Well, thank you for listening. That is the end of this episode. Again, we will not see you or talk to you on this Wine Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that, we will be back and hopefully back on schedule. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening to this. Share it with all of your friends. Come join our Facebook group. It's usually Black and White. Answer a few questions. We will get you right in. And just come sit with the cool kids and have some wine or your beverage of choice and just chill out with us. Right, friend?
That's right.
All right, friends. All right. Well, have a great week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.